And we will begin by asking the clerk to call the roll.
Chair Manager Green is present.
Oh, I'm here.
Deputy Chair Gina Hansett.
Present.
Legislator Aaron Levine. Legislator Joe Maloney. And Legislator Eric Stewart.
I am here.
We have three committee members present.
Okay, but we have a quorum, so we will proceed, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And would you like to?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
And have folks had a chance to look at the minutes of the April meeting?
Yes.
Can I have a motion?
Motion to accept.
And I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
And at this time, I would like to invite Melissa Everett, the Executive Director of Sustainable Hudson Valley, to speak about the Climate Action Roadmap and Toolkit for the Hudson Valley that those of us who are participating in the Mid-Hudson Regional Sustainability Coalition have helped to create.
Thank you so much. And I know this is a packed agenda, so what I have basically is an infomercial and an encouragement to delve and a hope that what we've been working on for the last several years will actually have practical use. As you know, Ulster County knows what it's doing so much in the immediate, you know, you've got your instructions, but what we're trying to do is consider 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, basically as the Climate Act rolls out and we respond, what does it look like on the ground? Not policy, you know, what do we all have to do in the coming days? So, you know, Manna and I were both involved, what, 25 years ago in saying, we need a sustainable thing. I was the person who drew the shortest straw in, you know, seeing where it would go. And it's basically, you know, our guiding question is how do we speed up, scale up, jazz up, and leverage progress against climate change? How do we mobilize more people power? So we, you know, brought the solarized model that the county has, you know, found useful. We've done a lot of EV marketplace development. We were involved as a stakeholder in the old regional sustainability plan, and the Sustainability Coalition, I think it's fair to say, is a group of the most active participants who have stayed together to share what's going on, to whine at, you know, how much hasn't gone on. And when the climate law was passed, we basically said, this is our moment. And, you know, how can we chart a course, basically a critical path analysis? How can we create an actionable plan that organizations and governments can participate in flexibly, but that kind of keeps us on track to 2030 and 2040, and keeps us kind of motivated with a common vision that is granular enough to be actionable, but big enough to be inspiring. So these are some of the participating organizations. As you can see, three guiding questions. You know, what's the critical path to meeting New York's 2030 and 2040 goals on the ground? Who needs to be involved? And what can those of us who are at the table now actually do to inject more energy into the system? So don't need to belabor the statewide transformation thing. I do think that there are three options for all of us. Does this transformative change happen to us? Does it fall apart? Or do we shape it according to our local values and resources? So I have taken out about three quarters of my standard presentation, which I'm going to be giving on a Zoom on May 10th at lunchtime, and you are all welcome. But what I have done is really cut to the chase with the kinds of things that we identified. And they're just examples, but you know, figuring out where we do want the renewable energy to be sited that won't tear communities apart. And MANA has been quite active with Scenic Hudson and New Yorkers for Clean Power in working with, I think, over 100 folks in a training just doing map analysis. And so building on that, the idea of climate resilience, the county has a beautiful toolkit, but really the work is at the neighborhood scale, dealing with heat island and flood risk and all this stuff. And it can't be done by government alone. So we've got to disseminate more skills and resources more locally. Green economy, I don't need to belabor, but I will say that both Tim Wiedemann and Evelyn Wright were quite active in our economic development working group and shaped this idea of a green economy business-to-business marketplace. And I see from, you know, having the opportunity to be in lots of counties, you know, Rockland has a little tech incubator. We have Ugreen and the Champions program. There's a lot of opportunity for connecting businesses to help grow this marketplace right now. Transportation, I mean, and I just heard Nick talking about that, and we were, some of us were with Congressman Ryan this morning and understanding that he's looking, you know, at a federal level, what needs to be done. So, you know, we've got electric buses. Getting people on the buses is the tricky part. Figuring out first and last mile, you know, how to help rural transportation to happen. That is a community scale initiative. Land use, you know, a lot of organizations are working on regenerative agriculture, but farmers need to understand it not just, you know, in general, but in their own context, on their own kind of soil. And the work that we see in that area, you know, with groups like Cornell and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts and so forth have been involved in shaping this. Just a more interactive outreach with funding and technical assistance to really understand what's working faster and more effectively. And also, you know, figuring out every tool we have to capture, to remove carbon, be it, you know, enhanced weathering or biochar potentially, just really understanding the science of all of those solutions. And then materials, you know, we have such an opportunity to transport less waste out of the county and really build the circular economy. And I know we'll have a bit of an update on the Reuse Innovation Center at some point in this meeting. I'm so excited to be working on that. We got all of, most of the counties, I don't know, Greg, if you've been pulled into this loop, but just thinking about, could we identify one material at a time that we know we could divert more than we have been? And so I floated an email thread to a bunch of the county recycling coordinators and said, what do you think? Would you discuss it? And they meet, and I don't know if you were in that meeting, but at the regional council. And they thought, let's try textiles. So the idea that we could change the system of how we're doing things and just consider more regional collaboration has been a very delightful kind of surprise to me. So we've got a website. It's kind of a project drawdown for the Hudson Valley. It's hvclimateroadmap.org. I'll make sure you all have it. We're still tweaking behind the scenes, but we're welcoming especially conceptual feedback, especially big picture resources, especially ideas on how to make it more actionable. We think that the, you know, the regional sustainability plan 10 years ago was a challenge to implement because there really wasn't a political consensus. You know, the counties tried to solicit endorsements, they tried to come up with an implementation plan, it just didn't happen. And so what we're beginning to discuss is, would a more flexible network work better? Where everybody isn't in lockstep committing to everything, but potentially groups that are working on different pieces of the puzzle could be meeting, coordinating, sharing progress, synergizing. There is an amazing, this REAMP network I have discovered is a model that I'm so excited about right now. It's in the Midwest, and it's a network of funders and environmental organizations with the joint mission of basically phasing out fossil fuels over a 20-year period. And they've got a bunch of fossil plants replaced with a bunch of renewables through joint strategic planning among a lot of organizations. Near term, there are a few ways to get involved, and I hope that you'll all kind of take these to heart. You know, we've got a blank page for endorsing the vision, and we want it not to be blank pretty quick. Committing to any project that's relevant to it, being part of the Regional Sustainability Coalition Learning in Action Network. But most of all, I want to offer this up as a planning tool, because I think we've got timelines, for example, in it. We've got some facilitation questions to be thinking about. We did an experiment in Rhinebeck with the Comprehensive Planning Committee in January. Just, you know, I did a more detailed version of this presentation. We did a bunch of breakout groups to look at how the local planning could be energized, really, by being connected with more of a regional vision. And so as Ulster County is, you know, engaging in its next steps and, you know, just continuously improving its long-range vision, it would thrill me to no end to see this used in some kind of a workshop or a planning exercise, whatever it may be. And I will stop there with an encouragement to poke around this thing and share your feedback. And, you know, just think how this could be an energizer and a connector. Any questions or thoughts?
I was just going to ask if you could maybe share the Zoom link with members of the committee.
That, I could.
That would be awesome so that we could.
I could do that today at some point. I will send it to Manna and she will forward it.
Or Chelsea, whichever is most appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, given our full agenda, I think we're going to move on to the resolutions.
Oh, thank you.
Can I just ask one question real quick? The screen went off before I copied the roadmap at sustainability.
Roadmap at sustain, sustainhv.org.
hv.org. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, great. And, you know, this is really a living document and process and big old experiment that it's getting more fun by the day.
And not a moment too soon, given how rapidly the climate crisis is, exacerbating. Yeah. So we have changed the order of the agenda because we don't want to have to, welcome Joe, we don't want to have to cram all the resolutions into the last 10 minutes as we did past few times. So we want to give them fair time, but also keep the time in mind. And if there is a reason to hold it and move on. Let's see how that plays out. So, and I apologize to the agencies that report, but you will have to sit through our deliberations. So starting with resolution number 5, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 12 of 2022, providing for the rights of the residents of Ulster County to clean water and for the rights of the Hudson River, also known as Mahicanutuck. Yay. I've only worked for Clearwater for 22 years and still struggle over the pronunciation. Also known to be held on Tuesday, June 15th, 2023. At 7:05 p.m. And I think I saw, yes. This bill is sponsored by Legislator Erner, and he's been in communication with Council Dave Gordon. And is there a resolution or an update? Where do things stand?
You have to do a motion. Motion to discuss.
Motion to discuss. Thank you.
Yes. Motion.
Second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Chair Green. Hi, everyone, once again. Councilor Gordon and I, and you also, Chair Green, and Chair Bartels had some communication around this in the past month. So, Councilor Gordon, through the chair, could you share what you feel is pertinent for the committee to hear right at this point?
Yeah, to give the committee just some quick background, this is a law that combines several different pieces. The most prominent thing is what we would call a right of nature law. This is a law that declares the right of a particular natural resource, in this case the Hudson River, to exist, to flourish, to be able to, if it's appropriate, reproduce, or what, you know, basically be clean, healthy, etc. It also has in it what I'll call a right of people law, the right of people to a clean environment. These laws are pretty interesting. It's kind of an ongoing, emerging field. And I've done a fair amount of research on it, and there's a lot of aspects to this law that need to be considered, but the most important thing for us right now is that the right of nature per se, in and of itself and some of the things around it, is very, very legally questionable. It's essentially not supported by the courts. There have been a number of cases that have looked at different aspects of the right of nature. And by the way, just for background, the right of nature is, although it's an attractive concept to people that want to preserve the environment and are looking for innovative ways of thinking about it, it is not yet accepted in most traditional American jurisprudence, and also among many American political governmental leaders. Certain people really like it, others are like, what is this? And the courts are pretty much, what is this? So there are some cases that kind of are unaccepting of it, and also there are certain things surrounding it, like the assertion of the right. What gives the county the right to declare that something, whether it's a mountain or a river, has certain rights, including the right to sue, be sued, etc., and to be clean? Well, the way where these laws have been developed, which is primarily from some activists starting in Pennsylvania, they assert the right of the municipality over and above it, all other considerations, including the right of including the jurisdiction of the state to simply declare these rights. And that's another thing that the courts have not been accepting of, both within the context of the right of nature and also just generally. Here, my job is your counsel. If there's one job above all others, it's to make sure that things you pass are consistent with state law, because we are ultimately legally answerable to the state. And that's a conceptual model that's different than the right of nature laws use, which is that the right of they're very promoting of the right of the municipality to determine the parameters of environmental protection. And that also has had a tough time in the courts. What I would propose to do as an alternative to the right of nature is instead to do two things. One is to elevate the right of people in nature as the conceptual core of this, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's just generally more acceptable to the people who are in the courts, for example, that we are going to be granting rights to people that people can come into court and adjudicate than the right to a river, for example. They just grab it better, and it's going to have a better road. Secondly, and probably the most important, is that here in New York State, fortunately, for the last year and a half, we have had the right of people to a clean environment enshrined in our Constitution. It was adopted by the voters of the state in an election day of 2021. And so we've got this constitutional right. It is right there. Now, the interesting thing, and one thing that weighs on my thinking here, is that although we have this right, nobody really knows what it means. And this is a third problem with both of these sets of rights. What does the right of nature mean in real terms? If somebody wants to discharge something, for example, or somebody wants to do a project, does that violate the right of nature or not? What if there's no proof of pollution, but we're concerned about these sorts of things? Nobody really knows what it means and how it's implemented. The good part about having the right in the Constitution is that if there's ambiguity, if it's uncertain, if the court isn't even really certain if it's meaningful, if it's in the Constitution, a court that's reviewing this has to take it seriously. They have to deal with it because it's constitutional. It's no longer just a county or a town asserting the right and saying we have the generalized right to do this. It's right there in the Constitution. They have to take it seriously. And there has been already one test case on this by people who were asserting that a landfill that was nearby, a really big landfill, was infringing on their rights. The court is letting that lawsuit go forward, although against, it had an interesting decision. It's only letting it go forward against the state and not the landfill operator. And even that decision's up on appeal. So we don't really know what this is going to mean, but the point is we are on firmer footing, in my view, if we tie into the right of people and the Constitution than the right of nature and the inherent right of the inherent authority of the county, such as it is, to pass that. And so what I'm proposing is to redraft the law with that in mind, and also to put some more meat on the bones, because one of the things that one court objected to with respect to the right of nature was the lack of specificity. They said, we just don't know what this means. And so I'd like to come up with some ideas as to what we'd want to see as we assert the right of the Hudson River to be, or the right of people to have a clean Hudson River and a productive Hudson River. And there are certain legal doctrines that that have been given short shrift over the years, that and certain actions that have been given short shrift over the years, including, in my view, and I know we don't have the time to talk about it, but I'd be happy to at length with anybody who wants to, the restoration of the river, the physical restoration of really, really important habitats in the Hudson River that have basically been laying around and not being implemented. So I want to put a bunch of suggestions on paper, draft something that begins to look like some specifics that what we might want. And that way a reviewing authority, whether it be the court, the AG, or whatever, can look at this and say, this is what this county wants. And there's one other moving part here, and I promise. One of the things that's emerging over the last, this has been existing for quite a while, but it's really been emerging over the last couple of months, is that because of certain hot-button proposed projects, there is now a revived concern about the river, including some of the folks who brought the right of nature law to us in the first place, who lived in the town of Esopus, and I think are very concerned about a project that they feel might impact their drinking water. But also downriver, there's a very important proposal which some of you may have heard about, which would involve the people who are closing down Indian Point discharging some of the wastewater there, which is radioactive, into the river. And that's of such concern that two of the counties downriver, Westchester and Rockland, have passed resolutions condemning this, and also sent their legislators up to Albany with a demand to pass a law against it. The point
so,
is,
so did we.
Right. Correct. Okay. The point, and as we did as well. And so my point is, as we move forward and define some of these rights, there's a chance that I'm interested. I haven't talked to anybody really, but I'm thinking that we may be able to get other folks interested in things like this, and then as we seek to define these things so that before it gets to the court, so the court just doesn't have a blank slate as to what the right of people is to the clean river, we would be defining it. If we can get other folks, other municipalities, to define it similarly in a similar type of a law, as opposed to just saying we don't want this particular discharge, that would in some ways leverage our argument before the court as to what the people around the river want. So that's another thing that I'm looking at down the road, if we can get a draft together that we can all agree is a useful step forward. And I've written a memo explaining my concerns about the right of nature to the sponsor, and to Chair Green, and to Chair Bartels, and for anybody else on the committee that wants that, I can forward that to you as well.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and thank you for that presentation and explanation. Have you any awareness of a New York State court case in particular that has litigated the rights of nature up to this point?
No. I don't think there's that many jurisdictions in New York that have adopted it. I'm not sure how many have nationally, but I know it started in Pennsylvania. Ohio had a very, very important case. I do not know of any court rulings in New York on it.
Okay.
But and there's one, again, there's one on the right of people, which is that coming from Rochester, Monroe County.
How about anything that would establish any feature of the natural environment as a legal person in much the same way that we have established corporations as legal people under the United States government or municipalities?
I don't know anything that establishes any rights that are not either people or entities that are made up of people, like corporations, municipalities, etc. So the answer is no. And I would also point out that there is a Supreme Court case dealing with, it goes way back, that actually deals with, before these rights of nation laws came up. Back in the beginnings of environmental law, the question was, who could sue to enforce? We now take this for granted, but the event before the Supreme Court in 1972, who can sue? It was a case where there was a proposed ski resort for a beautiful valley out in California in the Sierras, and the Sierra Club sued over this and said, we can sue over this because we have advocacy rights. We are the advocates. And the Supreme Court struck that down. And in striking that, and they ruled that it has to be people who have an actual injury. And that's the same thing that we have now, but I want to make one other point about this because it's important. When the Supreme Court struck that down, they struck down the right of the Sierra Club to bring that case. They thought the case was important. And there was a 5-4 decision, and the four justices wanted to find some way to bring it. Three of them just said, we'll just figure something out here. The fourth one, which is Justice William O. Douglas, the famous environmental justice of the, you know, back in the mid-20th century, and he did write an opinion in dissent that would have established the right of the valley itself to bring the case. And that was based on a law review article that came out the same year, Do Trees Have Rights? So Justice Douglas did say the valley has these rights. The problem, of course, is that that was one justice out of nine, and in the 51 years since, it was a 72 case, nobody has adopted that. So that's kind of where it's at. So the answer to your direct answer is no, I don't know the New York case, but I'm given the reception over the years, I'm somewhat skeptical. And there have been other cases that have rejected the right of nature in other states. Federal cases, though. So it's...
I love the sponsor and I love the intent, but it's just not something I think is any good. I call this legislative activism. And when it could actually end up being damaging to the environment. You know, we had a project up in Saugerties, Terramore, and I thought it was a really bad project for a lot of reasons, and the community that was fighting it ended up being successful because they didn't focus on activism, they focused on the law, and they went after it. And most of these environmental things that we want to do, we want to protect a development that we think is going to be damaging, it's about taking it to the courts, staying within the law, and that's when you're successful. Whether it's you're fighting a pilot or a development project in your town that's not something you're for, if you start focusing on public comment, why do you think the DEP constantly is throwing these public comments out there? They know, they keep us, what would do something about the turbidity? A real lawsuit that had quotes from the law about expectations of water. That's how we stop the turbidity. Activism is not necessarily the way to truly stop something. And the further a project gets through these processes, through these zoning and planning boards and seekers, the more you're not going to be able to stop that project. This also does something very dangerous, and it's all about judicial discretion. And I think judicial discretion is basically going to eventually rip this country apart with right-wing judges and left-wing judges taking interpretations of the law that really weren't meant to be because of their political ideology, who appointed them. And this is putting a lot of judicial discretion, and it's all about judicial discretion. You're basically asking a judge to agree with your point of view and your definition of generic words like the environment and rights and people. And I just can't, I just don't see this as being, I actually think it's a negative for the environment ultimately. And like I said, I love and respect the sponsor. I love and respect the intent. But I think if you really look at this legislatively, it's not going to end up doing what we hope it does. I think it's going to put us further behind with the things we want to do and protect.
I'm going to quickly give my opinion and then see what action we want to take.
Oh, I was just going to ask through the chair, the sponsor, I mean, would he be willing to make the changes that Council Gordon has suggested and perhaps resubmit this for consideration next month?
May I answer?
Yes, please.
I'd like to hear what specific changes you would recommend out of respect for the people of our county who did bring this to me to bring to us here and their aspirations. I would ask the committee to postpone in after the discussion in hopes to work something out based on what we hear from council and what I hear back from those folks and anybody else, of course, in the county. But to your question, I guess the short answer is yes.
Okay. To the chair, to the extent you want to devote time to it, I can talk about some of my ideas, or we can wait until the next meeting or whatever.
Yeah, we have too full an agenda today, so
I can put it down in a memo if the committee
is
interested.
That would be great.
That would be great.
Motion to postpone. Oh, you got something? I'm sorry.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Motion.
Okay. Before we entertain the motion, I just want to say what I think. and that is, I think that a lot of the problems that we're facing today come from the fact that we have not seen or attributed rights to nature. I think that, for example, you know, climate change and a whole lot of other environmental issues. I personally would like to move the needle of legal jurisdiction. And I think that in figuring out what should or should not go into this particular resolution, the things that, you know, helping to define the Green Amendment, or, for example, adding in that radioactive isotopes should not be discharged. That happens to be a personal cause, but I want to just respect what everybody has said so far and ask that. And, you know, perhaps the three of us and anybody else who wants to join us could set up a special meeting. And I know that the changes have not been incorporated yet into this resolution.
I'll draft them for I can draft them for you so you can take a look at them, including we can put in provisions that will recognize the right of nature. We just won't build the law around. We can say Ulster County recognizes this right, but we won't necessarily structure the law around it. So we can promote it. We can be seen as one of the jurisdictions that has approved it, but we won't be putting all of our eggs into that basket and building the whole law around it. If, you know, depending on how you want to approach it, but I could put that on paper as a suggestion.
And this is not to kick the can down the road, but to try to really create a consensus. Okay, so we have a motion.
I was going to say, I do like what Council Gordon just said about wording it such so that we make the recognition, but it's not a legal, but takes it out of the legal realm. So.
Great. Okay. All in favor of postponement? Anyone opposed?
Chair
Green. Did you want to say something before we finish the vote?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
And I appreciate Legislator Maloney for also having said what you said, and I would hope that the committee would have an interest in reworking this however you all see fit.
Great. And, yeah. All right. Great. One more time on the motion to postpone.
Aye.
Yes.
Anyone oppose? Okay. That was to postpone, yeah? Okay. Motion carries, and we're on to urging the New York State to approve and implement an opt-out community distribution generation of the CDG program. Is there anyone here that has expertise that could speak to that? I'm going to ask that we take no action. I did invite people that have brought this forward, and I don't see them here. So perhaps I should have sent them a reminder. But the next one is resolution number 88, amending the 2023 budget to provide Hudson River Watershed Alliance with funding for administrative and program support, support services to assist various agencies in Ulster County, and then Department of Finance is changed to the Department of Environment. And where do we stand with this?
I'm sorry, we're referring to resolution number 79 still?
No.
I skipped?
No, we took
no action.
I'm sorry. Right now we're focusing on 88.
My apologies. Okay, I'm sorry.
And I want to ask, please go first, and then maybe Amanda can speak to this.
Sure. So this particular resolution has kind of been floating around the legislature for many months at this point. And based on my last discussion with the various groups who are involved, those groups being the Hudson River Watershed Alliance, the Rondout Creek Watershed Alliance, and also other water groups at a recent meeting at the Marbletown community, at the Marbletown Town Hall, we decided that there were some concerns about how this was going to be funded, and we've tried to fund it in various through various means for several months. Basically, what we're hoping to happen is that funding for these watershed groups can go through the Department of the Environment in their 2024 budget and come under the auspices of the Water Quality Coordinating Committee. That's based on discussions we've had with Deputy Executive Laval. Like I said, we've been trying to fund this. I won't even go into the history because it's very long and complex. But we've tried many mechanisms to fund this watershed request. And basically, I think that some further discussion is still warranted. And I had kind of an initial conversation with the deputy executive just before this meeting. And I think that, we would love to hear what your thoughts on the matter, but I'm planning to postpone this for now.
Okay.
Until we kind of get our ducks in a row.
All right, then I don't want to put you on the spot, but if there is something you would like to add.
Okay. Just very quickly, that the Water Quality Coordinating Committee is convening departments and agencies along with meetings that include partner organizations to look across the county at both needs and opportunities municipally and by the county. There's Bond Act opportunities and grants coming. There is also an ongoing need around stormwater education, and I think that's the right group to kind of take a holistic look at where the needs are and then look at strategically what those best steps are to improve capacity at various levels.
Great.
And if I could just add one more thing really quickly. When this resolution initially was submitted, it was at the very beginning of the year, and the amount that was requested is no longer really what we're looking for because, you know, so much time has passed. So, I mean, so we're also looking at the amount that we're asking for as well. So there's a lot of changes to be made.
But to
the amount for this calendar year, I should say. But we're hoping to have a comparable amount.
To compensate for that, there are more entities included. And my request is that the stakeholders meet and come back to this committee with a plan for June.
I think that's a great idea.
And what's that? I'm sorry, apparently we slid into this resolution without asking for a motion to discuss. But it, so moved.
Second.
And we also have a motion to postpone on the floor. Anyone want to second that? Motion to postpone?
Or are we taking no action?
Was it? I thought you said postpone.
For this one.
Doesn't matter.
For this month. Yes.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor of
postponing?
Did Eric make the motion?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I didn't make an official motion, so I
Gina did it.
Perfect. Okay. So there you go.
All right. All in favor of postponing, and thank you. Anyone oppose? All right. Motion carries, and I'm not sure what entity is the best entity to convene a stakeholder meeting and come back with a very specific plan, but if you would work that out.
I will coordinate with.
Thank you.
I was just gonna say I'll coordinate with Nick and Amanda, so and we'll get it figured out.
Okay, and then resolution number 200, opposing a countywide landfill in the town of Plattekill, and I believe there have been several amendments.
Motion to discuss.
Motion to discuss resolution number
200.
200?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion to amend the resolution as presented.
Who made the first and the second? Who made the first and the second motions to discuss?
For 200?
Yes.
I don't think we did yet.
I will.
Okay. Thank you.
First and second?
No. Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
On the motion to discuss, aye?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay. And now on the amendments.
And this is to make it more specific. The amendments make it more specific to two specific pieces of land. It's not...
Correct.
Do you have it?
It's the third resolve.
So, do you want to, I know you said as proposed, but maybe just mention the strikeouts and...
Sure, so we took the third resolve and changed it to resolve the Ulster County Legislature joins the Town of Plattekill Town Board and its residents in opposing a landfill on site H and I, both sites located in the town of Plattekill, and be it further. So it's already marked up on here. It's here.
Yep. Any discussion?
On the amendments. On the
amendment.
Yeah.
Tracy?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak on the amendment or on the general, but so I'll just make my comments now. I'm going to put it in the larger context, but I appreciate the amendment. I appreciate the focus rather than the broad stroke in terms of the whole town. But I have to say my concerns regarding setting a precedent remain. The RRA, as many of us know, was created really with the explicit cite of the charge of citing a countywide landfill. That was many years ago, and again, many of us know the failure that happened in terms of that attempt, and we certainly don't want to repeat that. And while the urgency is now this much greater, I think that the approach needs to be very different. What concerns me about weighing in at this point is that despite the concern and the emotion, there isn't actually a siting process that's currently happening. These properties aren't currently being considered for anything. And while they were included in a document that was listed draft, along with a document along with a property in my hometown, we've heard from the agency that they're not being considered in earnest. In fact, the agency considered it a draft and was going to move on from that and is engaging in another study. I fear that if we begin the process of interjecting ourselves, this body, in siting discussions, especially pre-siting discussions, because again, we're not at the point of siting yet, that any time any property is discussed at the agency level, we'll have a very similar resolution here. Because I would certainly hope, and actually we have agency members here, expect that when we get to the point of a siting discussion and a bona fide investigation into a siting process, that would be an inclusive process that would engage all the town supervisors and the communities, that will talk about the things that Legislator Maloney has mentioned many times at this committee, host benefits, etc. But that right now, that this distinction between our body and the agency, I think, needs to be held. And that even in the best case scenario, even in a siting where we had a community and a site that was largely on board, I would expect that there would be some opposition. And so I don't imagine a circumstance where someone wouldn't be coming to us asking us to say no to this specific site, and then this specific site, and then this specific site. Now, I just also want to say that from my conversations, especially with Deputy Executive Laval, it seems to me that the site, which is also being considered for a solar site, and I don't know whether it's H or I, maybe it's H or Tel, that it would be very, very, very unlikely, if not impossible, that would be undertaken as a landfill site, just given, and she could probably speak to that more, given the complexity of all the relationships and all the required sign-offs on a Superfund site with responsible parties. But again, I think we're really putting the cart before the horse, and so it's not my concern and my no vote is not a signal that I'm supporting a landfill site in either of these sites or the place in Gardner. It's really about preserving a best practice in what I feel like is going to be a very difficult undertaking. But I don't expect we're going to see these sites in that undertaking.
Anyone else?
Me.
Any other discussion? Go ahead, Joe.
So, something we don't do enough in government is accept accountability. And really, the RA screwed up. The legislature has screwed up. A lot of us have just screwed the big picture up of spotting landfill and coming up with real solutions for solid waste. We've been pathetic. Gus was the only thing that we've ever come up with. Just pathetic. But and then we really screwed up the way we handled this specific situation. I was on the record saying I was going to have a hard time voting the way it was, because that does open up Pandora's box. But there's no other place besides the one location in Gardner, and if the town board there wanted to come to us and ask us to do the same thing specific to that one location, I think we should. And the reason we should do this is because it's our fault. We've upended this community. We've freaked this community out. We refuse to give them something with that lame excuse of a draft, that nonsense I've said before, I really don't want to see it again, and it's like the second time that's happened at the RRA. Not, you know, just because you call something a draft, that's nonsense. It shouldn't have happened. We are the cause of this. It's specific to these properties, and that's why it's a unique situation that we do this. If Quigley comes here with a town of Ulster, I'd say no. I'd say no, you were never mentioned. You weren't treated unfairly. There's no document out there that you weren't given with all these shady reasons that talked about certain areas in your town. Don't worry, we're not going to use it. We didn't like it. We can't explain how we got it or why we got it, and then we never paid any attention to it. We're not going to give it to you. Then they give it, but don't worry. You know, it was ridiculous. So I'm very comfortable with this. It's specific to those locations, and it's the least we can do after putting this town through this. So I'm for it. I'm okay with it. I don't think it sets the same precedent as doing all of Plattekill. It just puts the residents at ease over there about this weird situation that we created.
I agree with you. And also, I just think that, again, Legislator Maloney just said it, but the way it was presented put that community in a lot of upheaval that maybe is a fault that shouldn't have happened. For a small community like that, it is a lot. And I was there, I attended meetings, and I saw just the worry that they went through that should not have happened the way that it was presented. So I do think we have to take responsibility, and at least for those two sites.
And it opened up old wounds.
It did.
Well, yeah.
It did. You said it much better than I did.
No.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I'm very torn by this. I mean, I understand the concerns of the community. However, I mean, I think it's problematic in that, you know, we're about to conduct future studies about siting a landfill site, and I think it is problematic to start that by saying, okay, well, you know, these two sites are off the table, and then, you know, as Chair Bartels mentioned, I mean, I think that we could see a lot of other resolutions requesting to take specific sites off. I mean, I personally am opposed to either one of these sites as being considered, but I just think it sets an unfortunate precedent. And you know, in some ways, it's kind of a fight about nothing, because neither one of these sites are being considered as a potential landfill site. So it's a complex and kind of silly situation when you think about it. Everyone's getting upset about something that's not even planned. I think that's kind of problematic. And there was something else I was going to say, and it has totally slipped my mind. But
we'll give you another chance.
I'll come back. Thank you.
And
I just want you to know, I have to. The Charter Commission is meeting to consider my suggestions, which were so. I have to go. So I didn't want you to turn around and be like, "Why don't you just?"
Oh, okay.
So if I can make it back,
thank you.
Thank you.
My take on this is that even as specific as it is, it's premature, and I wouldn't be saying that if the RRA hadn't issued a feasibility study for a real feasibility study, hopefully an impartial and well-managed feasibility study. I don't want to vote no for it because I agree with it, but I also do agree with the chair that given that a real landfill study is pending, and if the results of that do not include either of these sites, then we haven't set any precedent. But they've ruled themselves out, which I expect to do. I'll recognize you in a moment. And you know, with a landfill, not only solar array, not only proposed, but approved by this legislature, I think that rules out the Hertel site. I also do think this is an environmental justice issue because Plattekill has had so much, so many impacts from the Hertel landfill. But we could take a vote on it, or we could take no action until we get the results. The difference is whether there's a direction to whoever is awarded the RFP for the feasibility study. So I'd like to ask the committee what you would like to do. We could hold it in abeyance or we could take a vote, and the chair has left. So I don't know, did she just say what her vote was?
No, and she, I think she's got to be here when we actually vote. I don't.
She has to be
here. Okay.
Well, as a sponsor, I would like to not take action. I would like to take the vote today.
Okay.
And I know that Mr. Dupuy would also like to say something.
Yes, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you. I came in here a little bit after 3, and I sit down and I listen to, no disrespect to anybody, but I listen to people who are passionate about giving the rights to nature, giving the rights to mountains, talking about climate smart, talking about climate justice, talking about the environment. And I have to say, no disrespect to you, but I'm a little taken back that you said that this is silly. It's not silly. I take the emotion out of my decisions, and I try to investigate them to the fullest and come up with the best possible solutions or answers at the end of the day. And looking at this whole situation, each parcel of what you are either about to vote on or will eventually vote on to either approve or disapprove the removal of those two properties should be judged on its own merit. When we talk about those two properties, it's not silly that we came and started that journey a long time ago when the RRA developed that proposal or the study, so to speak. They spent $11,000 on that. I don't think that they spent $11,000 on that foolishly. That's what they're tasked to do. That's what they did. They did their due diligence. That's what they served. So that being said, taking the emotion out of it, the responsibility of looking at those two parcels, to me, is great. Each parcel, each town, each board, each area should be looked at individually. Decisions should be made based on the merit of those parcels. And those two particular parcels are on aquifers. They're aquifers that actually support and supply water, fresh water, drinking water, potable water, to many communities throughout, not only Ulster County, but Orange County. I will tell you right now that there is resolutions that are already passed, already presented, already a matter of record, by Plattekill. There's been two, 2021, 2023. You have the town of Lloyd that just recently passed a resolution. You have the town of Marlboro that passed a resolution. You have the town of Newburgh that passed a resolution. You have another environmental group that's from the town of Newburgh, Orange County, that has passed a resolution. I am here to tell you that I would hope that this exists in Ulster County, that Ulster County takes this seriously, follows suit, and passes a resolution removing those two properties. I can understand the importance of not saying nothing here, and quite honestly, if the remainder of the towns come in and present to the board or the committee or the legislature, I would hope and I would anticipate that you would give each one, based on its own merit, the utmost respect and interest and investigative purposes to find out whether it's valid or not, and then vote accordingly. Those two parcels, I will tell you that they are on the Black Creek and they are on the Quassaic Creek. If you follow the water, you will see that they go vast and far. They're not just isolated to the town of Plattekill. Nobody is running with pitchforks and lanterns saying, not here, but there is some people that say that. When we look at that parcel, I've talked to Ms. LaValle probably quite a bit. I would say that we've spent a lot of time on the phone, probably more than you wanted to spend with me. You've had a lot of other things to do. I agree. To me, the better bad is the solar, but I have to tell you, there's an awful lot of people that are calling my phone night and day asking me about the size of machinery that'll go on there, what's the impact, what's the scale, what's the benefit versus not benefit. You know, there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of people who want to know the right answers. There's a lot of people who don't know the answers, and they're scared, rightfully so. I have to tell you, I think I spoke with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency probably 2 months ago, and I expressed my discontent and dissatisfaction that the town board wasn't notified on this HydroQuest study. We had to find out through a newspaper article. We found out through rumors. We found out through social media. So that being said, I could go on and on and on. I really respect the fact that you allow me to speak. I want to end it, but I do want to say, each of those two properties, based on the merit of those two properties and what that could possibly develop down the road, I would actually think that this thought process would be a proactive thought process and not a reactive process. I don't want to stand here 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or my children saying the same thing. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Maloney was
Joe, and then Eric, and then I want to get on the queue.
Sure. I think some of the other towns we're hearing about, I think a lot of that, these things that are happening are because of the perception that we're going to come in and force a landfill onto a community. Instead of bringing the towns in, this was always going to have to be, the towns were always going to have to be at the table and basically tell us what they have found. We need to give them the parameters, what we need, what they're going to get from being host community, and have them at the table. That was the only way this was ever going to work, but that's not what our county government, the RA, has done, and now we've got ourselves into this perception that we are going to go and basically force a landfill somewhere in the middle of the night, and now look at what we're dealing with, and this is our fault. To the one, my colleague has been probably one of the most, if not the most, compassionate to municipal concerns when I hear him at the table, and when he said silly, I actually thought he was trying to put you at ease by saying there's no way this is possibly happening, but that's just an example, and that's how I took it, but I'm not the one that's over there with my backyard on the line, and that just goes to show you how raw things are over there and what they're going through and how concerned they are, and I think we have to respect that. As far as the last thing I'll say, as far as precedent goes, we're not setting any kind of bad precedent, because if a town comes to us with a similar scenario, which I hope they never do, I think we should consider another resolution similar to this, but we probably never will see. This is a very unique situation where there's this weird study out there. They weren't told, the town board wasn't told about it. The RA saying, don't worry, we're not going to use it, and you can't see it, and all this weird stuff. If anything like that ever happens again, then I feel very comfortable going, we do have precedent to choose those locations that we've done all this weird stuff with, and put a resolution in like this, but we probably won't. Any other town that does come to us with something similar is not going to have that storyline attached to it, so we'll be able to say, kick rocks. We're just going to let the study go on, and we're not going to pass something like that for you. But with this particular thing, I feel very comfortable passing it.
I want to do a direct response. May I, or do you want to?
Oh.
Go ahead.
If I can have a moment.
You were on the queue.
Sure. First of all, I wanted to apologize to our guest by my poor word choice. I did not mean to, you know, say
minimize.
This was a silly topic, and I can totally understand, you know, the concerns of the local people who live there, and I did not mean to, you know, make light of that situation. The point I was trying to make, which Legislator Maloney mentioned, is that we're ruling out two sites that have never been ruled in. There are no plans to put anything on those sites aside from the solar farm. That's what I was trying to express. So, like I said, I did not want to make light of the situation, and I do certainly understand the folks' concerns who live there. So my apologies for my inartful language.
Okay, I just want to correct if there is a misunderstanding about the release of the HydroQuest study, which was done before the executive director and before one of the boardroom, all of the current board. The chair at the time felt it made sense and was consistent with the local solid waste plan to do a very preliminary study. And HydroQuest has a really excellent reputation, but apparently, in whatever process they used, this site's surfaced. And then the RRA was in the difficult position of having a study but not releasing it to the public. And I know that you got a lot of requests for it. So I don't think it was a mistake on their part. Maybe there is some other way it could be handled. But in the name of transparency, that study was released by posting it on the website. But I think people really did not understand how preliminary that was. That said, and I'll repeat that, I think that these sites will rule themselves out. Please, go ahead, Amanda. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Just a couple points that kind of stick to me that I wanna share with you all. One is that a full landfill siting study is very different from a hydrogeologic kind of suitability study. And just to, again, stress that for everyone, that just think of the whole context that you have to consider under SEAKER when it comes to traffic and noise and airport locations and all the different aspects that would become part of a SEAKER study. That's kind of the scale and scope of an actual siting study. So this is very different, and it's very focused on one thing. That said, they do, when you're siting a landfill, you never want it to be where the aquifer is recharging or where the aquifer is discharging. It needs to be neutral in the landscape, and that's, again, something that they would have to vet very carefully with additional study. In an actual siting study. And I just want to also recall controversy that a long time ago, or not that long ago, the certain board members would come up with lists for possible landfill sites that were any single parcel over 200 acres in the county. And that also created quite a lot of public discussion over those lists. And again, it wasn't really a full list of landfill sites. All that said, from having many discussions with Mr. Depew, also being down on site, talking to neighbors, coming to the town board meeting in Plattekill, Hertel especially is an old wound. And it's that's a Superfund site. That was a landfill where very hazardous things were disposed of, and the community has a legacy, a huge zoning overlay that restricts wells and development. So there's a large burden that's intergenerational that's carried by Hertel. And then just to speak to that, we had a very good site meeting on Monday. The complexity of interacting with the EPA, all the different responsible parties, the lawyers for the responsible parties, the consultants for the various responsible parties who include IBM, Ford, and strangely the city of Poughkeepsie, along with the solar developer, their consultant, EPA, DEC, various units of DEC, all on site so that we can start to talk through what a solar array would look like on the site. And I just think about with any kind of landfill, then the complexity of then any kind of significant proposal and all those agencies and how it just takes the regulatory complexity and kind of lights it off the chart. But again, just to remind the legislature that kind of in what we're conceptualizing for Hertel, the county doesn't currently own the property. We have a tax lien on the property. We will have to take the property and then transfer it to another party. There are 30 acres to the south that are wooded, that are not part of the landfill cap, that are in a very nice area of the town of Plattsville. And that could be an opportunity to then, as it's through our hands, to look at some kind of conservation for that area. So there's opportunities that we also have with the solar. So just wanted to share that.
Given the time, please be brief because I want to call the question.
Sure, thank you. I will urge the committee to stand in solidarity with the people of Plattsville asking for this tonight. I had appreciated hearing from the Quassaic Creek Watershed Alliance had actually sent a letter in support of the previous topic we were talking about, protecting the river, and so that sort of solidarity feels really important to me. So,
okay, I'll be real quick.
Yes.
And I did go down, I was the only one that could make it, and I did go down and spend 2.5 hours down there and didn't see, like, just even the water sites, and I went around all the perimeters of the land. He gave me a great tour. Still, that is open for anybody that wants to do that at any time, but I agree. Like, we put Plattsville through a lot.
Yes.
Just a question, Claire. Question of clarification on the amendment. Was the amendment for changing of the title as well of the resolution? Did we discuss that about changing it to highlight the two properties as opposed to a blanket statement of opposing a countywide landfill in the town of Plattsville?
Well, it's in the It's in the resolve. So
okay.
I don't know. I don't think that we. Legal, like we needed to do that.
Okay.
We can look into it.
Are you suggesting we add that?
I don't know if council has an opinion on that in regards to changing the title of
the title says opposing a countywide landfill in the town of Plattsville. It only, I mean, you could, and it still works because those two locations are in there, but we could just change two or three words if it, I mean, if you wanted it, I'm sure we'd be willing to do it.
If the
countywide landfill on two specific.
I mean, I know the sponsor of the resolution is not here, right? The other, you know, the co-sponsor of the resolution.
Doesn't matter.
Is not here. I didn't know what his take on it would be, but
I don't think he would be opposed to that.
But
regardless, it's still in there, so we could.
I would be
yeah.
more comfortable adding
okay.
it if possible.
On two specific parcels of land
mm-hmm.
in the town of Plattsville.
So can we take
landfill.
All
so
three
out.
Amendments out in one vote?
You,
I'm not sure.
What's that? You want to make a motion to change and then put the specific language in the motion right now?
Yes.
Second?
To add. Okay.
And the language would be striking in and putting and adding on to specific parcels
within the town
of land. And then, oh wait, no, not even strike in, leave in, just put on to specific parcels of land in between landfill and in.
Okay, if I may, on the title change, oh, you made a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. On the title change, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay. And then on the amendments as presented, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone oppose? Okay, then on the resolution as amended, all in favor?
Aye.
And all opposed?
One.
Yeah. And I just want to say my opposition is...
3-2, correct?
3-2,
yes.
Yeah. Is based on the fact that I think that this action is premature, and I agree with the chair that it does not set a good precedent. I think we have to let the people that are doing the landfill siting come up with really well thought out recommendations. And I think that it'll be up to the board of the agency to ensure that.
I'd like to make a quick statement on the fact that the transparency and the way that the agency has been is no more. I'm the chairman. January 1st, it stopped. We had residents saying that, you know, we weren't transparent and so forth and so on. I don't know what happened before January 1st, but this was brought to the board, the brand new board, in January, and with legal advice, what happened happened. So I want to pledge to you that that's not going to happen again. If you have a problem, call me at home. Okay?
And as I was speaking, I should have said that, because I didn't feel like I was, these three individuals really didn't have anything to do with what has happened in the past there. So as I was, you know, being a little rough on the county and the RRA, I did not mean, I should have specified that, but I knew that. I knew it had nothing to do with you. I should have said that.
I agree that we all do know that, so it's a tough situation, but we do know that.
And I just wanted to add that I'm very torn by my vote, and it pains me to have to vote against my colleague, Legislator Hanzip. But I voted no for the reasons that the chair and Chair Bartels both stated, that, you know, I think this site is, these sites are inappropriate, and, you know, they're not being considered. So, you know, therefore, that explains my vote.
It's okay to vote no sometimes.
What's that?
I didn't do it this time, but it's okay to vote no.
This is true. This is true. So.
Okay. And we've learned a lot.
We are running out of time, which means if we get through the resolutions, the committee reports are going to be compromised. But resolution number 278, authorizing the Department of Environment to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Highway Administration, charging and fueling infrastructure discretionary grant program. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Motion. Is there any discussion? And if not, let's just go right to the vote, because
it's a grant, so.
Okay, all in favor of resolution number 278?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Resolution number 279, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 6 of 2023. Amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 131, mm-hmm. Vehicles. And let's see, subsections and all of that. Sustainable green fleet policy in relation to strategies and goals to be held on June 13th. All in favor, do I hear a motion and a second?
Motion?
Second.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Before you go any further, can I make a motion to block resolutions number 280 through 284 as they are appointments?
I will second that.
Okay. 280 through 284. On the block, anyone vote on? Oh, yes, it was moved and second. On blocking?
On blocking.
I've asked before in the past, but even in our when we're looking at the resolution, it should be there in main session as well, because you have people from the public there, and they don't even know who we're appointing. I just keep asking that we always add the name in each resolution. We've had reporters complain at meetings about it as well. They don't even know who we're appointing. But other than that, I'm okay.
Joe, you mean add it to the title?
Add it to the title.
And I also would like to have the opportunity to meet these people. They don't have to say very much, but, you know, I feel like I'm often voting. We have a resume or some background information, but it would be nice if some of these applicants would actually come to the meeting. I know our meetings are long and it's hard, but...
Sometimes the interview process is one of the most educational experiences.
All right, so on the blocked resolutions number 280 through 284, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 307, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to... Oh, we moved on the block and not on the action. So on those blocked agenda, one more time, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Both the block and the motion carry. And then 307, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the power authority of the state of New York, electric bus charging infrastructure project, phase 2.2, Department of Public Transportation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. And Department of Environment, and, you know, whatever you feel, because it's condensed this month, what are the highlights you would like to share with us?
Thank you, Chair Green. I'll defer to Deputy for that.
We spoke about Hertel, so I think that was the main update that I wanted to provide the committee, was that we have had the site meeting, and we're going ahead with looking at both the feasibility of the solar project from an engineering side and from the EPA's analysis of it, and then also interconnection studies with Central Hudson. And again, knowing that you will have in front of you a property transfer transaction at some point in time.
Thank you. Questions, discussion? And we'll keep the other things on as for next month. Go ahead.
On the topic of the Reuse Innovation Center planning study, we are reviewing deliverables from Sustainable Hudson Valley, who is our contractor on the study, particularly around prioritization of materials for diversion through the center, and also programs and opportunities for diversion, prioritizing those. There will be an opportunity for public review and comment coming up at the end of May, and we'll publicize that with copies of those deliverables.
Okay.
And then I'd like to thank the legislators who attended the Bard Student Project on Tuesday. It's very valuable for the students to hear your priorities and goals when it comes to climate action. And it's valuable to us to have input on the county's community climate action plan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And with that, I'd like to... You have to leave.
I told you I have to leave at 4:30.
I'm sorry. Why don't you go before the report? Do you have a minute to?
I have a minute. I mean, but I'm not sure this is a topic we can take up in a minute, and I have to get to work. I have like 9 points. You know, the people who know me, and no respect to Mr. Olivier, I'm asking that the legislature absorb the Resource Recovery Agency, not because I think that the employees aren't good. I think they are good. I think Mr. Olivier and the others should stay in their job. Sitting here, listening to the confusion, it kind of reinforces my point of view. I have much more of a presentation that I wanted to make. I had laid out 9 points. So maybe I could come back, but
we'll put you first.
But thank you for your diligence. I understand how this happens. This is how government works. So I'm a little frustrated because I was all prepared and I have to run to work. But thank you, everybody, for your diligence. And again,
Can I just have your name?
Sure, Jim Gordon. I don't know, has everybody gotten I wrote an op-ed in the Times, in the Hudson Valley One. So I don't know if everyone has gotten it. If not, maybe you could make copies of that and give that to the committee and to the entire legislature.
You want to make it an actual department?
I want to make it an actual department. And I might add that Mr. Quigley, who is the executive or the supervisor of the town of Ulster, mm-hmm. agrees with me, and other people do as well. But it's not something I can discuss in 2 minutes.
I'm so sorry, Jim.
I understand. Please, I'm not angry. But thank you. We'll be picking this up again.
And we'll put you high on the agenda next month.
Thank you.
Take a close look at how we're doing finance, DSS, and DPW. I'm not sure, but you know, I get it.
I get it, too, sir. We can debate this, and I know it's not an open and shut.
To be indicted, we got homeless people not being taken care of. Several displaced units of DPW.
Right. Well, perhaps you can make a better job.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a kill. Thanks, you all.
Okay. Key updates from Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Sure. I got a couple for you. First, our
can you speak up, please? Yes.
I apologize.
No.
I thought I was speaking on it, but maybe I'm not.
I didn't see you guys too.
Go right over in the middle if you could.
By David.
Okay.
Thank you. So, a couple of things. I'll keep it short, but the landfill siting update for me would be that I plan to be giving the board of directors for UCRA my recommendation for how to proceed and who I think we should proceed with out of the folks that responded to our RFP. So I hope to do that by Monday, have that to them by Monday, and then we'll give them a chance to consider that, and then, you know, hopefully we'll be able to move forward. And as our board chair mentioned here earlier, they have already said as soon as we have what we need to where we've done our appropriate due diligence, it gets released to the public so that everybody can see exactly what we're doing. So there's no issue with making sure that everybody gets to see that as soon as possible, but we do need to make sure we do our part, the business part, first. So,
if I may, how many responses?
So we had two very highly qualified companies respond to that RFP. So, and stuff. But anyhow, so I'll have my analysis done and to them by Monday so that they can then take it into consideration, all the information and stuff. Waste diversion, just to share with you some information on diversion. So we've had in recycling tons come into our MRF year to date, we've had 405 tons of recycling come through the MRF year to date. We've had 993 tires that we have diverted year to date. We've had 91 tons in April of recycling come through the MRF and 293 tires. And
if I could ask a question, should we wait to the end or if we have a question about what he's specifically talking about?
Go ahead.
With those numbers, how much of that is out of town, out of county? Do you track out of count how much?
None of this is out of county. This is all what either the city of Kingston brings us through the MRF, or we collect from the towns that we serve.
We don't process anything from out of county?
We shouldn't be.
Okay, I just was wondering.
Yeah. So we do have some trash comes in, but we don't
process recycling.
Okay.
Did we ever?
I want to say I've heard stories that maybe that happened in the past, but I'm not aware of any coming in now. So.
But the solid waste we do.
A little, just at the, I think there's a town on the border or something that sends some to us and stuff.
Do we, when people not associated with, even if a hauler comes in, how do we know that it's not coming from out of county?
We know who are the haulers that we have given permits to haul within the county, so we know who's allowed to haul within the county, and then we require them to tell us where it's coming from. So there is the possibility somebody could lie to us and not tell us, you know, but so far we haven't really had a problem. We haven't noticed an issue with that.
That we know of.
Yeah.
Truthfully,
although we do have a new compliance officer on board now, and he's investigating. One of the things he's doing is going out and following trucks to see if they're properly collecting things.
Or sit
by
the bridge and
where
things
are.
Kind of
all of the above is what he's doing, yeah. So he's got a huge job in front of him. But
do we check licenses from regular drop-offs?
No. As far as them coming in, just somebody
just
with
a regular
truckload
or trailer
coming
in. Yeah.
We're not enforcing them to show us a license or anything. No.
Because as we talk about a landfill, we try to figure out how much solid waste we're producing. I just think we ought to cut it to say, well, this is a county facility, and we don't need out of county solid waste. But it's just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can get you some figures on that if you want, so you can see what we know is going on. It's not a large amount. I know that some of it, for example, would be like when Dutchess County, when their incinerator has had some emissions went down and stuff, and they've called us and said, "Can you help us out and take some of
that's
stuff?"
That's a different situation.
We've done that in the past,
and
so
they would do it
so
for
we
us.
Have,
yeah,
yeah so we've helped
I'm
them
I'm okay
out
with that,
too, that type of stuff. So, but they don't do that on a regular basis by no means. So, the other numbers I was going to share with you is that as far as what we've actually recovered out of the transfer stations from materials come in, year to date, 416 tons of stuff that we could divert and pull out and not send to landfill has been pulled out. And in April, 130 tons was pulled out of material off the stuff that was destined for the landfill. So, just to give you some idea of the diversion that's happening over there right now. And then the responses, you guys had asked for an update on the responses to the request for information. We received 5 total responses. Odd story there is I received 5, but one of them went into a junk email and it didn't pop up until a week ago. So I didn't know I had the 5th one until a week ago, but it was date stamped in time and everything was fine, so there was no issue with it. And so we'll consider it. We are currently working on scheduling for presentations. The board decided they would have a couple of special meetings this month, and we're going to try to get all those individuals that responded in between those two meetings, let them give us an in-person presentation so that we can ask questions and kind of poke at these ideas and see if there's something that rises to the top that we want to pursue.
I want to make a request for consideration. Some of us and several legislators, the chair, Legislator Petit, myself, and other experts have been working for 2 years on a zero waste implementation plan, and the idea is to flush out what we felt was missing in terms of actual implementation and a timeline from the local solid waste plan. Originally, when we started this process, agency board members and staff were participating, and we took a zero waste training, and everyone was working together. It pains me that 2 years worth of work is just sitting, and we did try to hire someone to pull it all together. They didn't have enough hours, and I just can't leave it sitting on a shelf. So, and I think it would work better if everybody was working together and putting their knowledge and expertise into it. So I just want to bring that up for consideration.
Could
and
you
maybe
and I maybe have a meeting and sit down and discuss what that might look like?
Yes,
that
please.
Would be great. If you would you like to try to reach out when you and
yes.
give me some dates, and then I can work with you on that?
Great. Okay. I don't think there's anyone here from the environmental management. Do you guys have? Okay. Let's see. Old business. That's the zero waste implementation plan. Solar siting law. I'm not sure at this hour. And Climate Smart Committee is very active. I think the main thing goes back to the BARD students of they're going to be in their recommendations helping us to clarify the redeclaration of a climate emergency, why we are redeclaring, and also in addition to the existing county executive order on climate change, are there other things that we want to, as a legislature, commit the county to doing to help promote climate solutions and offset emissions, et cetera. So that's old business that will continue, but we are looking forward to the BARD students report. Please.
I was just going to say that one thing related to the Climate Smart Committee update is that one thing I've had a brief initial conversation with Director Boda about is and others is putting together a Climate Smart Schools program.
Yes.
And that's something that I have been meaning to speak with Executive Director Laval about, and I had kind of I ran the idea by Chair Bartels and also County Executive Metzger, and there's been, like I said, all these conversations have been brief, but there seems to be some degree of interest in putting that together, and I'm going to be working on maybe forming a subcommittee to work on that, and that's something I want to speak more about you.
Very
about.
Important.
Too.
And Nassim in particular is very interested in working in that, and also the committee made a recommendation for us to consider probably as soon as next month, but definitely in the budget cycle, that there be a position created to help the schools in Ulster County to become more sustainable, especially around climate solutions. And just a plug for Roundout Valley. Go ahead.
Yes, and I was going to say, and also I was planning to reach out to Director Olivier about that as well. So,
particularly around the upcoming Ulster County Fair. That would be another topic to flesh out.
We'll be there in force this year.
Great.
Working on that.
All right.
If I could real quick, though, with the schools, real quick, just to
yes.
But so I don't know how many of you have had a chance to look at the state's solid waste management plan, the proposed solid waste management plan, but if you look in there, they are really focused on education and outreach in that plan, and part of it has to do with the schools and actually having the schools create a curriculum around this issue and stuff. So I think that if they go forward, that could be a tremendous help, because right now we have a hard time just getting the schools to have time for us.
Right.
Because they're so worried about the curriculum they have to teach, it's hard for us to get in the door to even talk to them. So something to hopefully we can encourage with the state and with the schools
right.
to embrace this, and then it helps us a lot to be able to reach them.
Because the format that we've been kind of investigating is kind of a three-pronged situation where, you know, it would be facility management of the schools themselves, but also curriculum, and also student projects and student involvement. So those are kind of the three areas that we were hoping to put together something along those lines.
And there,
and like I said, we're just in the very, very beginning stages of all of this. But I would think that your organization would be, you know, key.
We're anxious to get into the schools. If we can get in there, we're dying to get in there. So
there's also, sorry.
Real quick sidebar. I don't know what I missed, but I have, and I can't remember their name, the girls that do the education.
Oh, Tanisha and Angie.
So I did reach out to them, and I got them in with my local libraries. So they set up a number of programs, and the big one, the hot ticket, is working with worms. Just so you know.
Wow.
So my local libraries in the southern end of the county are very excited.
Nice.
So we have a lot of programs set up. So
there is a essentially countywide initiative that kind of originated in New Pulse, and we want to try to partner with that. I don't know if they call it sustainable schools or climate smart schools, but there is a group that's done a lot of research and is actively working. And also, I would like to recommend the school superintendents for Ulster County have an association, and that might be a good way. If it comes from the superintendent, it is more likely to have legs. So, all right. I think that, thank you for reminding.
Madam Chair?
And, yes?
Just, did we get an opportunity, did we get an opportunity to get an update from Deputy Executive LaValle on either the water releases or anything with Hudson 7? Was there any update on that?
I don't have any update. The Hudson 7 hasn't met recently. However, there is some, the stream management plan for the lower surface. There was a series of meetings and field meetings yesterday. They're moving forward with a public survey that will be out sometime soon. So that will be something we'll certainly circulate to you all, so you can share that with your community. We're also working on the public engagement plan in order to fine-tune kind of how we're going to be interacting with the public, both in order to learn from folks and also to share resources and kind of a general background information on the lower surface. So the stream management plan is definitely moving forward.
Thank you.
Okay, at this point, is there no other... Go ahead.
Mr. Gordon is a member of the board of directors for the Resource Recovery Agency. But he was here, in my opinion, speaking as a private citizen. He's not representing the board, from what I can tell, in any way, shape, or form. And also, your zero waste implementation. I'm interested in that. I'll get together with you and the
maybe
worm project. I have something that I was going to do. Seriously, if you could grow worms and feed them to chickens, you're going to be better off. There's all kinds of small things we can do. But I think one of the problems that the agency is having, there's only 5 members. If there's some way they could, and I don't know how they could do it, but include a couple more members so we have more flexibility.
What is the law? We could go to 7, I'm sure.
I'm not sure whether that would have
I'm not sure if it
go through the state.
We might have to go to the state, but I might not have to. Either way, I'm sure we can do it.
This is just a thought I had, because that's the problem. We have all these other committees we have with 5 people.
Yeah, the council have a vote on the board and come to us with a board vote.
I'm going
to
check
the
ask if you guys could take that offline. It's important, but we're so over time that I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Gina, we need to get your worm project at the county fair. That would be an awesome thing.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
We're going to do some educational stuff at the fair, so we'll have a booth. We're also going to have some staff.
Well, we need to be sure that our climate, that our climate row, that we're all, our booths are right next to each other, so that would be really great.
You need
I hope so. I'll work hard.
It's well deserved.
Just like
Shane,
I probably need
to. Could you please sign those resolutions?
time will we?
Thank you.
I would enjoy that. So, okay, we'll set that up.
Cool.
I'm going to show you. They make these cool reusable coffee containers that you can get. I'm going to show you.
I have. These are all reused.
I can see that. You are reused.